Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, and thanks for joining us at Mindful Living in the Adirondack Alps. This is Kathy Hohmeyer, and I'm coming to you from the Adirondack Mountains, the beautiful healing woods, as they call it, and from my Lake Clear Lodge and Retreat. And you can take a look at that, lodgeonlakeclear.com. And actually, the other person who is with us today is from the Adirondacks as well. In fact, just over the mountain from me, if I go down to my beach, I see St. Regis Mountain, and Lynn Cameron is right on the other side. So hi, Lynn.
Hi, Kathy. It's good to be here today. Thanks for having me.
Well, Lynn and I talk a lot, and we always joke that if we would have done this from the start, we would have tons and tons of episodes by now, because we talk energy and food and cosmos a lot. And when we hang up, we go, okay, we solved the world's problems again. Talk to you later. But we talk a lot. And today, we're talking about essential oils. In fact, I learned about essential oils for the most part from Lynn, geez, years ago, right, Lynn?
Yeah. Quite a few years ago, and I've been into them for 20-some years. So.
Right, and
they've
that's
kept
why...
Me from having, yeah, they've kept me from having to use any kind of medicines for 20 years.
And yes, Lynn's been in these for a long time. She's gone to seminars. She's learned all about them. She's used them, most importantly, been using them for all these years and got me into using them years ago, and which I'll be taping a cooking class on essential oil and have more info on my site. But Lynn's going to tell us about the basics of essential oils and how to get into them if you haven't. Now, they've become more prevalent in the last few years, thank goodness. And a lot of people know about essential oils. There's different companies for essential oils. But, Lynn, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself, if you'd like, and how you got using essential oils and really what they are.
Well, I first heard about them probably in the 90s. And I got a mailer. This is before any of the internet or anything. I got a mailer talking about a thing called the Essential 7 Kit, which by now many people have learned about because it's from Young Living and it's got 7 essential oils in it. Anyway, this was a mail order thing, and I read about it, and I thought, I want these. I'd been looking for aromatherapy for years, but at that point there wasn't anything really going in the U.S., only, you know, France or Canada. Anyway, I ordered them and I started using them, and there's no downside. I mean, they smell good, they feel good, they work, they elevate your mood, and they're completely non-toxic. And there's very few contraindications, and considering what's on the market today for therapy, they are for all practical purposes completely safe and non-toxic. Anyway, so the first one probably people like to start with there. Everybody's heard of lavender. And it's a very old oil. Comes from Rome, from the Romans. They used it. It's real soothing. The lavender I use, therapeutic grade, I must say, it's oils are the plant, are the essential oils are the liquids or the pressings of fruits, flowers, leaves, roots, and all kinds of plant things. They're the oils that are in it. Oil is a bit of a misnamer. They're really like plant blood is what they are, because they're not an oil necessarily. So lavender, of course, smells divine. It's been used in a lot of cosmetics for many years. But it's and one of the reasons it's so nice is because it's anti-inflammatory. So it's good for skin conditions that are inflamed, and for that, and it also is antiseptic. So while it's soothing your inflammation, it's also disinfecting, and then it has a pain relief to it. Oils are real complex chemical structures, and I don't even think that all the chemical constituents in the therapeutic oils have even been isolated, let alone what they would actually do. And, of course, another nice thing about them is they are a complete remedy, so you're not fragmenting your treatment, you know, by trying to have this thing over here that treats the pain, and then something over here that treats the inflammation, and some other thing that treats the fever, which is a pretty standard allopathic way to treat things, one at a time. Isolate things, treat them one at a time. The body doesn't work like that, of course. And lavender is safe for children, too. Of course, the safest oil for children is eucalyptus, which comes from down under.
Hmm. Yeah, I was on an auto ship for essential oils, and I kept forgetting to change it, and I get eucalyptus after eucalyptus, which was okay because during the wintertime, during the wintertime, I really need the eucalyptus. But one more thing with the lavender, with the light wave activation that I do, they actually recommend that you put lavender on your palms, because during light wave energy sessions, you activate the chakras in your hands, and they actually recommend that you put a drop of lavender oil on your hands to activate the palm chakras when I'm doing what's called light waves. So that's interesting.
I think that's probably straight across the board. Lavender smells so good, but essential oils are all of them antibacterial and antifungal, and so Gary Young, who founded Young Living Essential Oils, the premier producer these days of therapeutic oils that you can trust, says, you know, all the various oils are nice, but if you don't have the one you want, use the one you have, because they will all be antiseptic, antibacterial, soothing. So it's sometimes in an emergency situation, like I have bottles of oil all over my house, so if I can't find what I'm looking for, I just grab one and put it on, and it's going to be better than not. Some of them are safer. Young Living says you can use them if they're pure and don't have adulterations. You can use them directly on your skin. But I don't think you, that's kind of a waste sometimes, so, you know, it's good to mix them in with a little oil and rub them on your body. They also
work
because
they are very powerful. Yeah, they are very powerful. So you can.
A little bit goes a long way, like homeopathy, you know. You use a whole bottle, you don't need to. One drop is more powerful, really. And so often there, the European way of using aromatherapy is to always dilute it, very much so. So they disapprove tremendously on putting what they call neat on your skin. But I've done it for years with no ill effects. I must say, I do have a cousin with multiple sclerosis. And people with autoimmune conditions must be more careful than other people, however. So you would want to use very dilute. You'd start out with very dilute solutions, you know, one drop in something. They can be very helpful in those conditions, but sometimes the body in an autoimmune situation will have reactions to everything, you know, and it's not necessarily because their body's in high alert, and it's just suspicious of everything, even if it's really good for it, you know. So that's something to be careful of. But, you know, a person could contact you or me, and we'd be happy to advise them what oil to use where and how to get the good oils. It's real important to get good oils.
Right. And basically the three types of ways to really get the power of essential oil is by basically aromatics, which really people have thought of for, you know, mostly of essential oils, I think, were aromatherapy and, like you said, topical application. And also dietary, which I have been cooking with essential oils for quite a while now, been experimenting with that for quite a while, and have my favorite oils that I like for different things. And I'll be sharing that as well. But, those three, mostly they're known as aromatherapy, but they can be applied. One thing I like to do when they're too strong, or if I find an oil I want to use that is too strong, I'll put it on the bottom of my feet because, one, you have all the meridian ends there, And, two, I can just put my socks and shoes on and still know I got my dose of essential oil if I want to go out and not overpower anybody.
Yeah. I think it's worth saying in view of the energetics and the nutritional energetics that you're talking about, aroma is a real magic thing almost. You know, when you smell something, it goes directly to the limbic system of the brain, which is the little watery part very, very early on, very remote ancestry. I mean, one of the first things that ever happened is the limbic system. And it, to stimulate it, doesn't require any neural stuff, and it doesn't go through your brain. This is why when people, memories and things are so smells, aromas can evoke memories so quickly before you even think that you're smelling something like lavender or whatever. And the same thing can go with very putrid, awful smells. They'll go immediately to your body before you even have a chance to think. So this makes me feel that there's an interface very, very high up there that nobody really knows about in that realm that you're dealing with, in that energetic realm. And something's going on, and I think it's good. With the oils, before you even get down to the fact that you would use them on the physical body. They're working
right
out there,
mm-hmm,
in spirit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Peppermint's a great oil. And we all know about peppermint, of course, but, you know, you should use, everybody should try peppermint instead of aspirin. And, of course, in your case, peppermint, then you could use the number, then you could use the intent, and you still have the aroma and the topical, and then the eating it. So there's three ways to get those things into your skin. They're very diffusive, too. The molecules are so tiny. They just go. They flash. It's called flashing off in the air. So,
so if somebody had a headache.
Eucalyptus is a real safe oil for kids, too. Did I say that? I might have.
For lavender, yeah. For, I think you did early on, yeah. Yeah. So if somebody had a headache, how would they use peppermint oil?
Oh, well, you could put a drop of it on your, you put one drop in your hand and you kind of rub it around. You put it in your non-dominant hand, and then you're with your dominant hand, you roll your, and, you know, by then you don't feel like you have very much, but you really do. And dab it on your temples if the headache is of nervous origin. I would say peppermint would be good for that. Lavender is also good. Use both. Use one drop of both. You know, and then cup your hands over your mouth and your nose and take three nice big breaths and get the aroma, you know, get it circulating all through. So lavender, peppermint, and eucalyptus, all three are topical. Peppermint's really cooling, so, you know, you got achy joints, you can put peppermint on them and a little whatever else, and then zap them with some numbers. You should get some relief. And
yeah, there's really all levels. That's what's the really cool
that's
part.
Right. And there's not any downside except for the expense, and they seem to be getting rarer and rarer, as everything is. More and more difficult to access. Young Living's got a lot of blends and a lot of products that have therapeutic oils in them. And since they're so careful about quality, we often run into a shortage, and sometimes products just aren't available and you can't get it. So
mm-hmm.
I try to keep a selection of essential oils on hand. They last for a long time, and they never go bad. So keep them from light and air, and they'll sit there for, after all, they found frankincense in the tombs, you know, in the Egyptian tombs. It's perfectly
mm-hmm.
good. Something
mm-hmm.
must be said, though, too, if they're two of the three gifts of the Magi, were essential oils, frankincense and myrrh, let's pay attention to that.
Yeah, good point.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So eucalyptus,
and of course,
I
they're even older than that. Excuse me?
Yeah, no, I say eucalyptus, I use in the wintertime. Lynn and I both live in the Adirondack Mountains, which can get pretty cold and pretty, you have to stay inside sometimes when it gets well below zero. And Lynn, which you might find interesting, lives not on an island per se, but she has to go to her home by boat and in the summertime, and then in the wintertime go by snowmobile back and forth, so across the ice. And she can go the long way around, but I think, Lynn, essential oils have been really important to you, because it's not like you can get out really quickly and either get
right.
to a doctor if you were going or whatever. So for you, right. oils in your home have been super important.
Oh, they're the first line of defense. And I tell you, over the years, everybody comes to me for oils too. Can I get them to get their own and use them? No. But, you know, they're always coming to me. And I've used them on my, they're good with animals too. A little more careful on how you use them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's so many patent medicines you don't need if you have oils in the house. And it's comforting to have it. You know, you've always got a remedy for something. And they work. Because they wouldn't have been around this long if they weren't working.
Yeah, I mean, long, long, long time.
You know, yeah, because they're not easy to access. I mean, proper distillation of an essential oil is a long, expensive process. So when you look at the price of something that's, you know, 5 milliliters of some kind of oil, and you go, well, I don't want to pay $30 for that. That's crazy. Well, you know, it's going to last you for a year. And it's going to take care of what is just one trip, you know, to the allopathic medical people cost you way more than $30. So these are like things that you keep on hand. And I've
and they really vary in price. I think things like the herbs that I cook with are maybe 10 or 15. And then you can go all the way up to rose essential oil, where maybe you know more of the specifics of how many roses or pounds of roses it takes to make that. But that's $100 for a tiny bottle.
Oh,
but
so
generally,
many.
They're
yeah.
all much less.
Yeah, rose oil is very strong, too. I mean, most people are surprised if they ever get a chance to inhale the aroma of straight rose. It's such a high frequency. It almost evokes nausea. People will smell it and go, ooh, because really it needs to be blended with something in order to bring out its true. It's too strong all by itself. And rose has the highest frequency, since we're frequency people, of all of the essential oils. I mean, literally what it is said by some of the more esoteric people in the oil company is rose is serving its last incarnation in physical existence, and its next expression will be in spirit. That's how perfect it is.
Mm-hmm.
The rose flower, the aroma, the everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no, and some people smell roses, I mean, associated with the Mother Goddess, the Virgin Mary, you know. All of that, that's no accident. And
yeah, I have my rose essential oil story that I've told before, when there was a woman in Pakistan who just moved back, and I thought, well, I've really got a hit to send her the frequency of rose essential oil. I didn't send her a bottle. I sent her the frequency of rose oil. And I said, you know, this is to upgrade your home and, you know, the area around, and please put it outside and that sort of thing. And then another friend of mine smelled roses at the same time. And then this is kind of the connectedness of it all with the frequency, is that, and then a florist down the road who I buy flowers from has never given me any flowers outright. She just showed up on my doorstep with 3 dozen roses. So to me, that was a really significant story, and the connectedness of the frequency, and it was just really, really cool.
Did your roses, of course, hothouse flowers don't have the aroma because it's been bred out of them. They still have the physical form and the beauty and the color. But to get a rose that still has aroma in it, and you know if your roses smell have aroma, which the ones in the grocery store don't. And I happen to have 8 of them right here because they're so beautiful, but they have no aroma. Is really elevating. I mean, a person, I don't think people experienced it too much anymore, but it used to be if you got roses, you just buried your face in them and couldn't get out. You know, if you walked, Montreal, my gosh, Montreal has a rose garden in their botanical gardens up there. And you have to go in June, and I've only made it once. And I tell you, it is heaven on earth to walk through that garden when they're blooming, not just even visually, but for the fragrance.
Right, coincidence that roses and love are connected. Give roses when you're in love, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Lynn, a little bit more, we've got a few minutes left, a little bit more about eucalyptus oil.
Well, eucalyptus is primarily from the old days. Now, when I'm talking about how to use them, I'm bringing in history to it. Eucalyptus is a standard for fever, you know, and it's real safe for children. Now, in the old days, before sulfa drugs and antibiotics, penicillin, and all that, people got fevers. Fevers are good, really. Fevers kill things in your body doesn't want. So you go through this fever, burns it all out, and then you get better. Because we have so many vaccines and so many drugs and so much everything, the body's reaction to things has been seriously compromised. So not very many people can get a fever anymore, and as soon as they get one, they're taking something to take the fever down, which is like your poor wounded body doing something to heal itself, and then you kick it in the teeth and say, forget that. You know, I'm bringing you down, not having no fever. So, but in the old days, eucalyptus was used for bringing fever down, particularly with children, and you just put some in water, and you would bathe their feet, and you would bathe, you know, and they would smell it. They used it for treating all kinds of contagious diseases and killing diseases, you know, diphtheria and scarlatina and all the ones that modern-day antibiotics have taken care of, so you don't see them so much anymore. Anyway, it is definitely to the body's advantage to get a fever, and if you take a fever down with eucalyptus or peppermint, which is also good for that, it's a normal way to do it. So your body is doing what the fever needs to do while you're getting the relief. If anybody's ever had a fever, you know they are very uncomfortable, and it's very tempting to take something to get that discomfort away. But if you go through it and take the day or so or a couple days to get through your fever, your body will be fighting what you've got, and you'll come out better at the other end, and you can use oils for comfort and therapy on the way and not negate the effect, the good effect that a fever brings for the body.
Mm-hmm.
Eucalyptus is the prime oil for that. And, it never even came into this country until about the 1880s. It didn't even leave Australia, where it's native. It's called the blue gum tree in Australia. And, of course, the Aborigines used it for many, many years before and didn't have a name, of course. Oh, well, they had named it, but it wasn't called eucalyptus then. And many varieties of it, maybe 300 different kinds of eucalyptus. So, and they have different uses. Many species of herbs like lavender as well, and peppermint. Many, many different varieties of them, and if you get right into the study of it, the different kinds of mints work for slightly different things.
With all the energy, different tools that I use, essential oils are the one thing that my kids will ask for. They'll say, Mom, I have a headache or my muscle's sore or something, and that's one thing they will ask for is essential oils, and I have bottles all over. They know they can pretty much pick up one if they want and use it.
And it's so important to get children to take responsibility for doing this themselves. I mean, I'm always so gratified when I see that happening because, you know, they grow up and they've got to take care of themselves. And you don't get the idea that you always have to go to some professional when you have some little thing happening. There's so much fear that if you don't do that, something bad will happen, you know. Yeah, oils are really comforting and nice that way. And children take to them, really take to them. I like to watch things that children take to because they're sort of pure little beings. So watch what they play with and do and take care of, like, and, you know, pay attention to that. So
mm-hmm. Very true. Okay.
Children and animals.
Yeah, so essential oils, where would somebody, where would they get them? I know, pretty, like I said, pretty much they're getting more and more known, but you were saying they're getting less and less available.
Well, the good ones are. But because they're getting more and more known, the market is high for them. So whenever that happens, there's naturally the diluted, adulterated oils that don't work and actually would be dangerous to put directly neat on your skin. So I'm sure there are a number of good essential oil companies in the world, but I've always used Young Living and been happy with their stuff because I can trust it. And I have the experience to trust it. So I don't get oils other places. But I know people who use them other places. Therapists, massage therapists often will use a less expensive, or they won't use oils because their practice is such it's difficult to make the, you know, the profit they have to make if they're using very expensive essential oils on people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for personal home use, they're really cost effective. They don't go bad. They don't need refrigeration. They don't, you know.
Yeah, they are. Like we said, you need very little of them to actually be effective.
Yeah. And remember, you can eat them. You can put them on your body, or you can smell them. So you have three ways of delivery of their active ingredients into you, and they're very diffusive. So, you know, and there's also diffusers you can get. It's good to kind of cold air diffuse them, though, because when they're heated, their molecular structure changes. They're they're quite delicate. I mean, you know, look, oxygen makes it. The reason you smell them is because they're exploding. Their low molecules are exploding when they hit air. And so that's the aroma. Some explode faster than others. Like, some aroma stays around for a long time. Those are slow release, big molecules, different kinds of molecules flashing off at different times. Eucalyptus goes quickly. It explodes. And you get the aroma, you get the effect, and then it's all flashed off and it's gone.
Yeah.
So
a couple things that I... Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was saying a couple things. We've got a couple minutes left, but I wanted to tell a couple of tips I think that I've told you that I do with mine as well as the cooking with it. But coffee can be so mold-ridden, even, I mean, you know, unless you expend a large amount for coffee all the time. And sometimes when I have coffee, I place in a drop of, I like Earl Grey tea, and that's the bergamot. And so sometimes I place a drop of bergamot essential oil in my coffee to try and use it as a, I don't know what to call it, a preservative. But, and then also my breadcrumbs. When I have breadcrumbs
hanging
out,
your coffee grounds?
In the coffee grounds, right in the can.
Yeah, before you brew the coffee. So you put
before
it in your coffee.
Before I brew the coffee. Just one drop in a cup
of
coffee.
Yeah, it's real strong. You can go, I love bergamot. Five drops. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The first time I made a bowl of... Yeah.
Yeah, just because of the properties.
I made a pot of two ones and put too much, you know. I put a drop of thyme, a drop of oregano, a drop of whatever. It was completely... inedible the way it was. I had to dilute everything. Like, I mean, I had a pot of stew and I had to make six.
Because
otherwise it was inedible. Yeah, you got to be careful with that. Wouldn't have hurt me, but it didn't taste good.
Yeah. So just a few seconds left, Lynn. Did you want to say any kind of wrap up or more about essential oils?
Well, I there's so much I could say. I just say don't be afraid of them and get yourself some. You can get them from you, have people contact you and or me, but either one of us, and we can put you in touch with with you can try some. We can help you out. And there's no wrong way, and it's not dangerous, and it's very pleasant. I mean, everything mm-hmm. is an upside with essential oils.
Yeah.
So, and
okay,
and
Lynn, well, thanks for joining us. And you have such awesome knowledge that thanks for coming.
Oh, you're welcome. Have me back anytime. My problem is finding the smallest amount to say, because I could talk forever about it. So I, you know, and I'm always available for questions.
Okay. Well, we will chat later, and I will see you in a short bit. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Bye,
okay.
Everybody.
Bye.